Wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Oh, we can pretty much all bank this coming December, you'll receive some sort of Christmas gift where you're going to have to pull out the finest acting performance of your life. Yeah, the whole stage will be on you. All the spotlight in the middle around the tree. Vulnerable family members stressing over whether you like their present or not. You hate it, but as far as they're concerned, you love it. And we managed to get some fake Christmas reactions on. A little bit of a heads up, a little bit of a practice dress rehearsal before the main event on Christmas Day. Plus, what did you think was completely normal until you realised it wasn't? Oh, I still can't believe that no one else experiences intense pain when they have jam on toast first thing in the morning. I've got to take a break. Physically could not go on. Intense pain. I must get that checked down and sorted because it's not completely normal. And the road rage food chain. Where do you stand in the animal kingdom in terms of road rage monsters? Are you a little krill down the bottom like me? Or a big great white shark ready to chainsaw someone's head off at any time? Enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
To all. 15 days, can you believe it? Until the big red man comes down the chimney. Of course, usually they're quite family affairs, aren't they? Usually you can pretty much bank that at one point during the Christmas day, you're going to have to pull on your finest Oscars performance and sort of thank a begrudging family member for some stupid gift that you wouldn't even pay to buy yourself. Like there's nothing worse that they could have gotten you. You just look at them in the eye and think, did you put any effort into this? Do you ever see me wearing anything from Rockman's? What makes you think that a $100 Rockman's voucher would be right up my alley? I'm a man and it's a woman's store. There's doozy Christmas presents all over, and there are family members where you're like, you know what, I'm just going to have to pull one out of the bag here. Don't want to hurt their feelings, of course. Christmas is all about giving. I give the gift of false acting, making sure that everyone is happy with the gifts that they've given me, even though they're going straight in the bin the second Christmas day is over. 131060. It's quite the service we're holding tonight. Free service for you to get in a little practice run, a little dress rehearsal, pulling out your fake Christmas present reactions. I mean, we've got hypothetical shit gifts here, for sure. 131060, you can ring up. You do a good enough fake Christmas present joyous reaction, you actually get a Lush pack, which you can either keep for yourself, or if you don't like that, you can give it to someone else and then force them to fake a reaction as well. The Christmas present faking reaction hotline is open now.
Call me and then just speak to me so you can practice your fake reaction. Fake reaction.
Oh my God, thank you.
This is invaluable. Invaluable service on 131060 because it's always important to fire one off before the big dance. And we've got a panel of judges here that will be able to spit truth bombs to you. If you're not convincing enough, we'll tell you where you need to improve. We'll tell you what you could have done better. We'll tell you what your strengths are as well, maybe to play to those. Hypothetical scenarios. So let's just say the 25th of December, fast forward to Christmas Day. Producer Jack, you've got the option of choosing a present from Aunt Janice, who was over from the UK, or Uncle Devin, who was over from the UK this year for Christmas.
Let's go Aunt Janice.
Okay. All right, my lovely Jack. I haven't seen you in a couple of years. Here's the gift, my love. A six-month subscription to a golfing magazine.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Janice. I've always wanted to try.
Not good.
Golfing.
Not good. No.
Thank you.
No, I thought you already played golf, my love.
No. But I will.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, look, he's got the 18 most scenic golf holes in Australia. Have a look. Go on, have a look. You love it. 9 ways to improve your swing. Putting for dummies in the contents section. There's even a chance at a $100 gift card.
Oh, thank you.
No, but nah, you're too slow. You're too slow with your thing. The longer you draw out your R's and stuff, it plants seed of doubt in Aunt Janice. That's the thing. You won't be so lucky on Christmas Day when Aunt Janice comes around, Producer Jack. This is the service we're providing. 131060 for Lush Packs. Pull out your best Oscars performance, your fake Christmas present reaction. If it's good enough, you'll score yourself a Lush pack and a free dress rehearsal for the big dance. The big dance on the 25th.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lake.
One thing is for sure, this Christmas you will receive a present you don't like from a family member you're not quite too fond of as well.
Call me and then just speak to me so you can practice your fake reaction. Fake reaction.
Oh my God, thank you.
This is a service that we're not charging, but it is invaluable tonight because it's inevitable. In 15 days' time from now, you'll be somewhere on Christmas Day, forced with a scenario where the whole family's looking at you, receiving a gift that you don't quite understand why they brought you from a family member that you don't care enough about, but don't know them well enough to hurt their feelings. It's all fun and games if, like, your brother or, like, your mum or your dad buys you something shit on Christmas morning. Like, oh, what? What's that? Jesus! You got a receipt for that? Yeah, yes, please. Bring that back. Here's a gift card instead, please. Thanks, but no thanks. Sometimes, though, you might be forced with, like, a hypothetical Auntie Janice and Uncle Devin flying halfway around the world from the UK to join you for Christmas. You don't quite know them that well. Aunt Janice is getting on a bit. She's very, very moody around Christmas time, especially after too much turkey and vino in the afternoon. We've actually got another Janice from Melbourne here. Hello, Janice.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, Fat. You sound like a Janice as well.
Yes, you'd have to give the best present.
Well, yes, yes, you do. But not all of us Janices can give good presents. That's the thing, Janice.
Yeah. I know.
We need you to pull in an Oscars performance here. You can choose to get a present from either your Aunt Janice or your Uncle Devin.
Oh, I'd have to go for the uncle then.
All right, okay. All right, here you go. This one's for Janice, my lovely sister-in-law. Look what I've got you here. I've got you one-year...
I can't wait.
Well, here it is, Janice. I've given you a one-year subscription to Weight Watchers. No.
Oh, I've always wanted that. How did you know?
Well, because you weigh 100 pounds, Janice. That's why. I know.
I can't wait.
You've been saying it for years, haven't you, my love?
I have, actually.
Someone like you probably needs a little kick up the backside, just a little helping hand along.
Oh, lovely.
Wow, that's good. I mean, Uncle Devin feels like he's hit it out of the park. Well done, Janice. Nice faking lush pack for you. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas. Luke in Melbourne. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. You sound like a...
Oh, sorry. I thought we were ringing out to practice our sex noises or something.
No, your sex noises. Get your mind out of the gutter. Your loose trombone.
No. Let's go.
We're faking our Christmas present reactions, all right? So, This is hypothetical Aunt Janice. You're in front of all the family. All eyes are on you. You're about to open. Aunt Janice has flown halfway around the world to give her darling Luke a nice four-pack of cake forks.
Oh, my God. How did you know I want that? Where did you get it from? I've always wanted this.
Well, I've got it from the little market down the road in Swansea, you see.
It was a rainy afternoon. Do they have more?
Yeah, I could probably.
I need more.
Devin, call Helen. Call Helen. Luke wants more cake forks. He's having a jamboree in March. Well done, Luke. I genuinely believe he was quite stoked to get the cake forks as well. Lush pack for you. Well done, good sir.
Cheers, mate.
Feliz Navidad to you, Monica in Melbourne.
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. You got a suspicion that maybe there'll be a couple of eyes on you this Christmas with some Christmas presents you're maybe not quite particularly fond of.
Yeah, I'm certainly worried about it, that's for sure.
This is the point. I mean, we've had two very strong contestants so far, very good fake reactions.
High competition here.
What would Monica not like to get? all right. Well, Uncle Devin decided to get his little darling baby Monica a 5-pack of highlighters.
Oh, highlighters.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is better than all my birthdays combined.
I know. I overheard you talking about it. You were saying how stressed in the office you were. I figured it might be down to the lack of ink left in your highlighters.
Oh, wow. This is so thoughtful and so useful. Really, I'm so humbled, really.
And we've got the green, the yellow there. Of course, your favourites. The blue, the pink, and the purple. I mean, no one uses the purple, do they? But it's there.
Exactly. All the colours of the rainbow.
Well done. Well, I'm on that. Uncle Devin's proudest bunch.
Thank you.
Oh, you've made Uncle Devin's Christmas. Thank you, Monica. Lush pack for you. Final call, Lucy in Melbourne. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you're quite jovial at this stage. That smile will soon be forced to wipe off your face when Auntie Janice, whom you actually hate because she got too drunk last Christmas and said your toes were ugly, she's bought you
I never know. She might have got me something nice this year to make up for the comment from last year.
Well, you know, I mean, let bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge, Lucy. Your toes are rancid. But I did buy you a coffee mug with the Cash Me Outside girl printed on the front.
Oh, my God. I absolutely love her. Cash Me Outside. How about that?
How about that? I know. I know.
Oh, I'm going to drink out of that every minute of the day. Oh, about 10 coffees a day.
Wow. Well done as well. 4 from 4. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad, guys.
You pretty much live your life, don't you? You live your life and assume that everything you're doing is relatively normal in comparison to everyone else. It's very rare that you'll actively choose to go so against the grain and sort of do something that would be viewed by everyone else as freakish or unnormal. Usually you reckon you got it all down pat. You think all the lessons that you've learned over the years, that's how everyone does everything, and that's why you do it that way because everyone else does it that way as well. Very rare occurrence where you sort of stumble across something just almost by freak of an accident where something comes up in conversation and then the rest of the people around you say, hang on, that's not normal. You think, hang on, what do you mean? What do you mean? No, come on, guys, you're pulling my leg, come on. I say, no, just you, mate. Just you over there in that corner by yourself in the weird corner. That's not normal at all. Happened to me today. And I can't remain too sad and, like, downtrodden on my luck at this. Although it was kind of humiliating at the time, realising that no one else felt this. It's given me the power to sort of go and seek some help for this issue. And I would have never known. I thought everyone was like this. Earlier on today, I was having some jam on toast, treating myself in the building. It was about 10 a.m., eating some jam on toast. Had about 2 bitefuls, and this always happens. I know I can only have 2 bites of jam on toast before my mouth starts getting really sore. The roof of my mouth stinging like it's on fire. I had no idea what it was. It just, if I have jam on toast first thing in the morning, stings me roof of the mouth on fire. Painful. So painful I have to stop eating. And I went, ooh, ah. Everyone's going, what's going on there? I said, you know, I just got that thing at the roof of the mouth. I say, what thing at the roof of the mouth? Well, you know, when you eat too much jam, first thing in the morning, roof of the mouth starts to sting. And I say, no, not at all. Maybe a slight tingle from time to time, but not as severe as what you're making out there. I have to stop. I have to take a 2-minute break and then I can go on. Then the roof of my mouth subsides and it's fine. Then I can eat the rest of the jam on toast. I thought that just came with the job. I thought, jam, amazing invention. Unfortunately, you have to take a little rest stop after 2 bites. Nah, just me.
When your mouth starts to sting and you can't eat a thing, that's not normal.
No, that's not normal at all. 131060. What did you realise wasn't normal? That's the thing. Some people will be doing unnormal things right now and have no idea. It takes a very special occasion for you to stumble across something where you're like, oh, geez, you're right, that's not normal. I had no idea. No one else got the roof of the mouth stings whilst eating jam on toast and had to take a 2-minute sabbatical. I also knew someone. God knows how, but he was raised thinking that it was a bit of fun. Like, the way that you play with a dog is to lift up their tail and just do like a little blow on their bum. Like, I mean, the dog obviously loves it. The dog does love it, but it's not normal. You don't do that. That's not standard protocol to do with a dog. He was about 15 when he realised this. He lifts up my dog's tail. I go, what are you doing there? He said, dogs love it. We always do it at home. Unnormal circumstances. Producer Jack, you ever felt that you've done something a little unnormal?
Well, I thought that everyone did this as a kid, but when I mentioned it to you, you had no idea what I was talking about. I used to have baby biscuits and milk for breakfast. When baby biscuits are obviously like the milk arrowroot biscuits, yeah, but just with milk.
Nah. I mean, who am I to say what's normal and what's not? I'm a little apprehensive to tar you with that's not normal because, I mean, it's really only one vote each, but you claim to be eating biscuits for breakfast. That, like, your family would be like, here, have some breakfast. Have some biscuits.
Yeah, biscuits and milk.
Nah, bad habit.
Mixed together.
That poor habit. That's bad parenting, at least. I don't know if it's normal or not. Shouldn't be bloody normal. Have some Weet-Bix like the rest of us, Producer Jack. 131060. I knew someone whose parents slept in separate beds, but in the same room. He thought everyone's parents did that until grade 9. He's like, no, one bed for the two parents. Well, I get it. Some people, they change beds these days. But he was none the wiser. 131060, have you had the limited opportunity, the privilege to realise that you're not normal? We'll get the calls on the air next.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Wakey Wakey, it's Danny Lakey. When your mouth starts to sting and you can't eat a thing that's not normal. When you blow on a dog's bum because you think it's for fun, that's not normal.
No, these things aren't normal. They're from real life people who thought they were normal. I only found out this morning that no one else can eat jam. Everyone can eat jam and their mouth doesn't sting at the top. So there's some jam on toast. I take my regulatory two bites and then I have to take a rest. The roof of my mouth stings. Agony it is. I have to take 2 minutes off, drink some water, have a little cool down. It doesn't happen to anyone else. I'm in shock. I'm still in shock. Disbelief. Life isn't fair sometimes. Not all of us can eat jam in one sitting, apparently. A friend of mine thought it was fun to just blow a bit of air on a dog's bum, lift up its tail and go... That's what dogs liked, apparently. That's not normal either. 131060, what did you realise wasn't normal? Adriana in Melbourne.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Still dealing with the shock. I mean, it's only about 7 hours since I realised that I'm the only one who can't eat jam and toast properly.
Oh, that sucks.
You eat jam on toast properly?
I can. I'm lucky enough.
Jesus. What's your ailment?
I'm more of a physical thing, actually. You know when people pray and put their hands together?
Yeah.
My fingers don't touch. Like, they don't go straight. And showed it to a couple of people. They're like, what the hell's wrong with your hands?
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Do they bend backwards or bend
forward? They don't. Like, if you try and push your fingers there, that your fingers will touch. Mine don't touch.
Oh, no. That's so. Not normal. We can only pray for Adriana. Let her fingers straighten up, because sure to hell she can't. Thanks, Adriana. Ryan in Canberra.
Yeah. How you going, mate?
Good, thanks. What did you realise wasn't normal?
I had a mate back in school from grade 7 to 10. His mother used to wash his hair every night.
That's not normal. Some people don't grow out of childhood habits, say, because that reminds me. I had a mate, and it was would have been grade 9, I think, and his parents would still read him a bedtime story every night, every single night. Yeah. They just must have never got the memo. I mean, don't get me, it's not Spot Goes to School anymore, or like Enid Blyton's Magic of the Faraway Tree. It was like a serious novel, but still a little bit weird. Yeah. God, imagine. Yeah, grade 9. I mean, is he still in his trunks? Usually you're naked when you're washing your hair.
Yeah, he was in the bath every night. He used to have a bath and he used to wash his hair every
night. Oh, dearie me. That's just as much on the mum as it is on the on the grade 9 kid. But yeah, you're
that's
so right.
I was thinking, I'm like, you got to call someone, mate.
Yeah, that's not normal. That's not normal. Christy in Melbourne. What do you got?
Hey there. It was my partner until the age of 24 used to think if a lady had an innie down below that she was a virgin, and if she had an outie, she wasn't.
We're
not talking belly buttons.
Oh, God. That's not normal. I've actually got heaps of examples now. I'm realising the more that I hear them, the more I get reminded of things. My mate, until he was 21, my best friend, thought that girls did a number one out of where number two comes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I was like, mate, no, that's not normal. That's weird. Like, no, trust me, it doesn't. He's like, yeah, why do you think they have to sit down then? Oh, dearie me. That's not normal. Miller, wrap this up on 131060.
Hey,
very good, thank you. What did you realise is not normal?
So, you know the dangly thing in the back of your throat?
Oh, yeah, like the...
That hangs down?
Well, it's not it's not the tonsil, is it? I think people call it the tonsil, but it's not. It's like the uvula.
Yeah. So mine's split, so I've got two. So it's essentially like an upside-down love heart.
Oh,
and I thought that was totally normal. And then when I was like 13, my friend yawned, and I was like, oh, mate, what? You've only got one. What's happening there? He was like, oh, what have you got? And I was like, I've got two, like everyone else. And he was like, oh,
nah.
And so I went home, and I said to Mum, I was like, have I got two? What have you got? Looking in her mouth, and she's like, oh, it just never came up.
Wow.
So until I was about 13, thought it was normal to have two.
Wow.
Apparently not.
Insane. No, I think you're the only one. From memory, the Rugrats have two as well.
Oh, there we go.
They do. Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey. Rhodes and Rage, they go hand in hand. most people have got a car. Most people are sort of in traffic every now and then, especially in the suburban and the built-up metropolitan areas. It can get quite stressful. Peak hour traffic. Sometimes someone cuts you off on the highway. There's a whole sort of linear scale of road rage shenanigans. There are those people that sort of like mind their own business and they're quite cool, calm and collected on the road. And they're like, well, I don't want any trouble. I'll just let them go. Ignore them. It speaks much about their character rather than my driving skills. They're like very calm and like nothing gets them. Very rarely ever use the beep horn or anything. And then it goes right through. Like you'll see pretty much on the news every day some sort of new road rage attack where someone has gotten to a point where they think it may be appropriate to stab someone because they cut them off in traffic. Like, these people are insane. This is nuts stuff. The potential stabbing on the news tonight. Last night there was some woman who was hurling a brick at another car on a highway. Just insane how much the road rage food chain can span. And I learned a very, very important lesson today and a very timely reminder because I'm down the bottom of the road rage food chain. I've never been one to sort of beat my horn or get too aggressive. If someone cuts me off, just, oh, you know, that was a bit dumb from them, obviously, but, you know, nothing, what's done is done now. No harm done, no harm hurt. I'll just continue on with my day. Notice I've been getting a bit stressed recently and I've been slowly moving up the road rage food chain and I've been ready to blow at any minute. And earlier on today, we were driving down this road and I was in my car and probably about, I think it must have been a 70 or an 80 zone, just one of those two-lane sort of roads, not quite a freeway or a highway, but no suburban vista by any stretch of the imagination, a halfway. And it was just me and this other bloke on the road. No one else really around, no traffic, just going 70 k's an hour. And someone's parked and they're about to leave their parking space, so they're about to enter the road. It's just me in this car. Well, what should have really happened? The correct road protocol would have been to just continue on. That car goes. I was behind this car, so I would have gone. He's pretty much just slammed on his brakes and allowed this person to leave the parking spot. And he doesn't want to get into the parking spot. He's just literally just stopped. He's trying to be a good citizen. He's trying to be like a nice person. And this person who's parked up, they didn't see that, and they're there, and they're not really concentrating yet. So what I've done, which is very untowards and out of character for me, I sort of just raised my middle finger, just flipped in the bird a little and said, don't do that. Continue on. Come on. Just a little that. And he's caught me in his mirror and he's seen me. And what's happened here is this is someone, aka me, who was at the bottom of the road rage food chain, a krill, let's say, someone who's trying to dabble into like a small fish world. And this guy is a great white. Like, this is one of those just rough as guts dudes who is looking for a fight at every turn, at every traffic light. He spied me in his rearview mirror. He's turned around. He's wound on his window. He's sticking his finger up. He's going nuts at me. He's shouting. He's swearing. There's all sorts going on. All of a sudden, it's this conflict between me and him. And I just retreated like the beta male soy boy, Suki Lala, little cuck that I am. And just shut my pie hole and continued on. I was crapping myself. I was like, oh, please don't get out of the car. Oh, my God, this is not good. I immediately regret my decision. Why did I stick my rude finger up? Why did I mouth a swear word? Why did I do any of this? I'm not at the top of the road rage food chain.
So earlier on today, I got full on road rage. I stuck my rude finger up to a man who's insane. 'Cause I'm right at the bottom of the road rage food chain. And I realized then I'd never do that again.
Never again. Never again. I learnt the timely reminder that I am a road rage krill. I'm right down the bottom in the pecking order. The deep seafood chain. The great white sharks up the top, down to the killer whales who are still quite psycho. Then you got your tuna, your small fish, and your krill. And I'm right at the bottom of the krill. I don't want any beef with anyone on the roads. And it was a timely reminder because I was a krill trying to become a small fish. And I've realised that's not my wheelhouse. It's not where I should play, nor is it somewhere that I'm prepared to play. 131060. Where on the road rage food chain are you? It'd be great to get a whole collection. It would be great to get the full chain here on 131060. So let's start at the bottom with me, the krill, the cucks of the road. Never use my horn. Views everyone else's great whites. It is someone who does not want a skerrick of conflict on the roads at any point, whether we're going 30 k's an hour or 100 k's an hour. I'm sticking in my lane and you can get past me. You're the boss of me. Views everyone else as the great white. We then move up to fish, which are people, someone that I was trying to be, muttering under their breath, maybe the occasional rude finger from time to time. If you've graduated from fish status, that would make you a tuna. on the roads. This is a big horn beeper, a shouter, mild swearing, gestures, but windows up at all times. And producer Jack, this is where you're nodding your head. You take the position of the tuner on the road, do you?
Yeah, I'm definitely a tuner. Always like, I'm a big swearer. I really get aggressive, but I will never, ever get out of my car.
No. There's no chance of it ever escalating there. The second a tuner meets a great white, he understands that he's second. He's like, well, not having anything. We move into killer whales, second from the top. Car-based attacks, maybe a few swerves. This is getting very unsafe and dangerous now, but there are killer whales on our roads out there. Heavy yelling, swearing, middle fingers all the time, with windows down. They value a shouting match, and then you get right up to the great white shark, someone who will get out of the car the second they are beeped. Someone with a weapon ready to go. They've got baseball bats in the bonnet. They've got bricks in the front seat. They've got all sorts going on. I feel that's when you get the road rage videos online. It's when two killer whales meet. Two great white sharks that refuse to back down. It's quite the animal kingdom we've got on our roads here. 131060. Where on the road rage food chain do you stand? Would be great to get the full collection on the air next and see how this pans out.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
This is what happened today.
So earlier on today, I got full on road rage. I stuck my rude finger up to a man who's insane. 'Cause I'm right at the bottom of the road rage food chain. And I realized then, I'd never do that again.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes sometimes is a natural krill to try and venture up into fishy territory on the road rage food chain to be met with some great white shark ready for a fight, for me to just take a big gulp and say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not one of these people. I'm not someone who's going to get into a fight on the road. I shat myself. I was so scared. What a timely reminder to know my place on the road rage food chain. We talked about it just before at the very bottom of the krill, the cucks of the road, never using their horn, viewing everyone else's great whites, do anything to avoid a little bit of conflict. We then move up to the fish who will mutter under their breath in the car, maybe the occasional rude finger, but nothing untowards and never any violence. We move into the tuner, the big horn beeper, the shouter, maybe a bit of mild swearing, but always the windows up. No chance of them ever getting out of their car either. Killer whales. This is where it gets a little tricky and then moves into like illegal territory. Car-based swerving attacks, maybe. Typical, stereotypical behaviour of the killer whale will involve heavy yelling and swearing and middle fingers all the time with windows down, looking for a vocal argument. Oh, God, by hell or high water, I pray the day that I never see a killer whale meet a great white shark. These are the people that will get out of the car. They've got a weapon ready to go, chainsaw in the back seat. They're not even a tradesman. They are just ready to saw you in half. You see these go viral all the time, these road rage attacks. I feel it's when two great white sharks meet on the road. We're hoping to get a full road rage food chain kingdom going here. So, of course, we'll stop at the bottom. Word on the street is no great white sharks have called through just yet. Sam in Victoria, you claim to be a krill.
Yeah, I'm a massive krill.
Me too. Join the krill club. Join the thrill of the krill.
Yeah, the krill club all the way. I'm way too afraid to ever beat my horn or anything. It's just like any way to avoid conflict is the way to go.
And me too. A krill, I feel, you can be behind a car, the light has gone green, and I'll still give them about 8 seconds benefit of the doubt to just let them go on their own terms.
Yeah. I think I've only ever been beeped like once, and the one time I got beeped, I just was like, oh, no. Oh, I'm going to start a conflict if I drive away. Wave out the window, sorry.
Me too. Oh, it's good to know that there are krill alive and kicking. I mean, the world could do with a few more krill, I reckon. Daniel in Griffith, getting slightly more serious now, still a very nice upstanding member of society, but you identify as a fish.
I do identify as a fish. I'm the person that I'll give whoever's sitting in front of me at the traffic light 1 second, 1.5 seconds, and then if they haven't gone, I'll bip the horn.
Yep.
Occasional middle finger if someone flies past me speeding or anything like that. I'll feel like it's my duty to then get ahead of them, then sit in front of them doing 10Ks under the speed limit just to piss them off.
Wow. Okay, and I mean, I understand you identify as a fish. It's sounding a little tunery to me. But as a krill, I'm not looking for any conflict. Whatever you say goes. Thanks, Daniel. Alicia in Shepparton, you are a tuner. You're a fully fledged tuner, you say.
Yeah, I'm a fully fledged tuner. Right. I'm up in Shep, so I don't deal with a lot of traffic. But I'm shocking when green light goes, like, I expect you to go. The green light's on. Go. Like, do not stop. Oh, it just irritates me. I'm one to slam on my steering wheel, or if I'm sitting in traffic and I see someone doing something stupid, or I'll smack on my horn if someone does something silly, and it's just, I can't get out of the car. I'm not one to get out of the car. I'm just chicken for that.
Yeah, no, and you can hear that. You can hear it in you're bubbling away in your voice with rage. It's typical tuner behaviour, but the tuner will never get out of their car and do anything, physical damage. But
God, no. Boy. If I got out of my car, I'd probably lay on the ground and go, please don't hurt me.
Yeah. Well, a tuner's no match for a great white or a killer whale, but you
definitely
sound like
not
the stereotypical tuner. Barbara, oh God, we're getting real serious now. We've got a killer whale on our hands, you say.
How are you going?
Anything you say?
Me on the road,
anything
that's
you
all.
Say? All right, so, I mean, have you done any swerves in the past? Any sort of heavy yelling, swearing, middle fingers? What's the closest you've got to full-on biff?
Yeah, look, if someone slams their brakes on in front of me, I had this guy the other day cut me off, then I biffed him, yelled at him out the window, he slammed his brakes on in front of me, so I was off. I was after him. And I chased him for a good couple of kilometres. Then I told him to pull over. I'm yelling out the window, pull over, come on, pull over. He pulled over. As soon as I opened the door, he took off.
Oh! You know what? You found yourself a tuner.
I did.
You've called
he
the tuner's bluff.
Around.
That's the thing. It's a game of bluffing. It is a game of bluffing. It you're both in your big metal cars, and you're like, right, how psycho can I get before I need to understand that we've got someone more psycho than me on our hands and I need to retreat? And the tuner, the tuner assessed you as a fellow tuner, soon realised you were a killer whale and took off. It sounds like a smart decision. Thank you, Barbara. Oh, God. Oh, no. One more to go. I mean, if that's what Barbara could do, what the hell is Luke from Melbourne doing? Identifying as a great white, you say, sir?
How are you, Danny?
Ah, shit! This krill is no match for a great white shark. You're getting out of the car. You're ready to go.
It's been occasion where tailgating has happened because of people cutting me off, and you know, I'll chase them and all the rest of it. And then at a set of lights, I actually got out. I'm not a small fella. I'm 6 foot tall, about 125 kilos. And I got out of the car, and the bloke in front of me got out, and he started. And as soon as got from behind the door, he crapped himself and got back in the car and sped off. So
the ultimate. I mean, I feel you met with a killer whale, and he almost had you, but the great white shark always reigns supreme.
Especially
with a chainsaw and a whole bag of tools in the back. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.